24. Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when the wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. A couple weeks ago, we preached a message on ascending, and we looked at Psalm 123. We saw then that, beginning with Psalm 120, going through Psalm 134, which is a total of 15 psalms, they form a section called the Psalms of Degrees, or Psalms of Ascent. These psalms were sung by the children of Israel as they made their way up to Jerusalem and to the annual feasts. So they were songs of pilgrims going to the house of God to worship. Songs of those who were on their way to the house of the Lord. We read in Psalm 100 in verse 4 that we're to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's to always be true. We're to always enter the Lord's house with thanksgiving. But always enter the Lord's house with hearts of praise. That requires preparation. These psalms of degrees or ascent, they contain thoughts that would encourage the children of Israel as they made their way to the house of worship. They contain themes that would certainly prepare them for worship, which of course would enhance their worship. Each of these psalms, Psalm 120 through Psalm 134, contain a record of God's blessings, how God has blessed his people. The purpose of that is that God, the hearts of God's people would be, as they made their way to the house of God, would be filled with joy, thanksgiving, and praise, and even wonder toward God. And then as they would sing these songs and as they got further along the way, I believe they became more joyful, more thankful, until they finally arrived into the Lord's house. These psalms contain things that would create desire for God, create a hunger for God, and a zeal to worship the Lord. So these psalms were designed to get them into a proper frame in order to worship the Lord. And that is something that I'm afraid there aren't a whole lot of people who have ever grasped the importance of preparing our hearts for worship, to ascend to the house of God. By the time we come in the doors, that we are ready, that we are prepared to worship the Lord. Again, these 15 psalms were designed to cause God's people to reflect. And it's good to reflect. It's certainly good to reflect upon the blessings of God as we prepare to worship. And that was the design of these psalms, to get the children of God to reflect upon the blessings of God as they made their way to the house of God. So as we read through the Psalms, Psalm 120 through Psalm 134, we get an idea of the attitude and the condition of heart that is necessary to worship the Lord. It gives us an idea of the preparation that is necessary to worship the Lord. Now in this 124th Psalm, the theme is established in the first two verses, and then it is repeated in verse 8 in a slightly different way. In verse 1, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. And then this is repeated in a little different way in verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. So the theme that is established in verses 1 and 2 is basically this, that the Lord has made a difference in our lives. That's something we must never lose sight of. The Lord told Moses that he would bring the 10th and final plague upon Egypt. He then told Moses the reason that he would bring that plague. He said there in Exodus 11 and verse 7 that you may know, I'm going to bring this plague upon Israel or upon Egypt that ye Israel may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And it's the greatest difference in the world. The difference that God has made between His people and all the other people in the world. God wants us to realize that it is He that has made the difference in our life. Now, when we talk about God making a difference in our life, that immediately brings us to God's grace. We cannot earn, we cannot merit the difference that God has made. So that brings us to God's grace. That brings us to God's mercy. And as you read through these Psalms, you see that God has demonstrated His grace and mercy. And if you and I were, if we would think about it, God has greatly demonstrated His grace in our lives. God has greatly manifested His mercy in our lives. So the idea presented in the psalm is, what if God had not intervened in our lives? And that's what we want to speak upon tonight, were it not for the Lord. And that theme is established there in verses 1 and verse 2. First thing we want to do is view this psalm in its immediate context as it applies, as it relates to the nation of Israel. And then we want to, secondly, just make application to our own lives. But the Bible very plainly reveals that if it had not been for the Lord, the children of Israel would have been destroyed. There's no doubt about that. There was a host of enemies that was constantly rising up against the children of Israel. And their purpose was to destroy Israel. And if it had not been for the Lord, Pharaoh would have destroyed them. The Egyptians would have destroyed them. The Babylonians would have destroyed them. The Philistines, the Syrians, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Midianites, the Amalekites, the Moabites, the Assyrians, the Edomites. All these were sworn enemies to Israel. And they all wanted to destroy Israel. They were all filled with hatred toward Israel. They were all filled with animosity and wrath toward Israel. And they would rise up against Israel from time to time. And Israel had no other help. There was no other nation that was going to come to her aid. And utter ruin was threatened, humanly speaking. And utter ruin would have been theirs had it not been for the Lord. Had it not been for the Lord, they would have been ruined. That's true of you and I also. Their purpose was to destroy. And if it had not been for the Lord, they would have destroyed her. Time and time again. God was stronger than all of their enemies. Whatever enemy rose up to destroy Israel, God, of course, was stronger. God was wiser than all the enemies, no matter what their plans, no matter what their schemes. God knew exactly what they were going to do. He knew when they were going to do it. And God knew how to overthrow them. And God knew how to prevent them. And as diligent as Israel's enemies were, God was more diligent. We read in Psalm 121 in verse 4, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." All of her enemies, at some time they have to sleep. At some time they slumber. But the one who kept her and the one who keeps us never slumbers, never sleeps. So the psalm reads, if it had not been for the Lord, notice in verse 2, if it had not been the Lord who rose on our side, then notice that next word, when, which means during which time. When men rose up against us. If it had not been for the Lord, when? You and I have many whens in our life. But then notice, first word of verse 3. Then, at that time. Then, at that time, they had swallowed us up. When, again, they had swallowed us up quick or alive, when, during which time, their wrath was kindled against us. Then, at that time, the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul. Then again, then, at that time, the proud waters had gone over our soul. If it had not been for the Lord, the purpose of the enemies would have been fulfilled. If it had not been for the Lord, they would have perished at the Red Sea. They would have died of thirst and hunger in the wilderness. They would have been destroyed by the various captivities through their history. If it had not been for the Lord, Moses would have been killed by Pharaoh. David would have been killed by Saul. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have been killed in the fiery furnace. Daniel would have been killed by the lions in the lion's den. If it had not been for the Lord, they would have been swallowed up alive. The wrath by the wrath of the wicked, we see there in verse 3. If it had not been for the Lord, they would have been engulfed. Verse 4, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. In other words, we would have been engulfed if it were not for the Lord, who prevented them from being engulfed. It was the Lord. He goes on in verse 6, "Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth." We have not been caught in the sharp teeth. They had not been caught in the sharp teeth of their enemies. Why? The Lord. If it had not been for the Lord. Notice verse 7. If it had not been for the Lord, they would have been caught. They would have been trapped in the fowler's snare. But all because of him. They could sing in verse 7, the snare of the fowlers, the snare is broken, and we are escaped. How did they escape? Was it of their own ingenuity? How did they escape? If it had not been for the Lord, they would have never, ever escaped. And as Israel is headed to the house of God, they were to reflect upon these things. They were be singing about these things, how that God had spared them over and over and over and over again. Do you realize that every time we come into the house of God, we have been spared? We have been spared. We would not be able to come into the house of God had not God spared us. Every single one of us tonight can say, if it had not been for the Lord, we would not be in this house if it were not for God. We need to constantly think upon these things. So as they made their way to the house of the Lord, where they would make their sacrifices, where they would present their offerings, they would sing, they would ascend to the house of God. They're not descending into the house of God, they're ascending into the house of God. And every time we come into the house of God, it ought to be an ascent. It should never be a descent. It ought to always be an ascent. And when we come with hearts prepared to worship. But let's view these words as they relate to you and I. What is said of Israel here in Psalm 124 is even more true of those who have been saved by the amazing grace of God. You view these words in as they relate to salvation. As they relate to salvation. Think of the fact that you and I, the saved, there was a time when we were in bondage to sin. There was a time when we were trapped in sin. We were held firm in sin. We were in the chains of sin. We had no desire. We saw no need to be loosed. We were really pretty content in the bondage of sin. There was a time in which you and I were in the depths of unrighteousness. You and I cannot fully comprehend how deep those depths are. But we were there. We were in the depths of unrighteousness. We were in the depths of defilement. Who can tell how defiled a sinner is? They're completely defiled. But who can define and completely understand that word completely? Totally. We were defiled. We were in the depths of guilt. How guilty were we? As guilty as possible. But again, we cannot truly grasp the extent of our guilt. We are in the depths of condemnation. We've been condemned because we had sinned against God. We were sinking deeper and deeper into the mire of filthiness and vileness. I mean, how filthy is sin? How vile is sin? Well, in order to completely understand that, you would have to completely understand the holiness of God, the purity of God. We were in the depths of darkness. How dark was it? Christ is the light, and we were without Christ. There was no light. We were in the depths of helplessness. How helpless were we? We were dead. You can't get more helpless than that. We were dead. We're not only in the depths of these things, we live there. That's where we lived. And we sat in these things. We walked in these things. And we loved these things. Again, we were content there. The sin, the defilement, the filth, the darkness, all of these had power. All of these had control and sway over us. Know for certainty that if it had not been for the Lord, we would still be in bondage. We would still be in the held in sin's dark sway. We'd still be there. Just that very thought ought to fill us with thanksgiving. However bad you and I may think life gets, let me tell you this, it doesn't get any better than I've been set free from the bondage of sin. Nothing can diminish that. That's what we need to think upon. That prepares us to worship God. Why, before we come into the house of God, we ought to thank the Lord for saving our soul. How often we go through a day without thanking God for saving our soul? How often we go through a day oblivious to the blessings of salvation? And we ought to be thinking upon these things as we approach the house of God. But be sure of this. You and I would still be in bondage. We would still be in the shackles of sin. We would still be in bondage in the shackles of Satan. We would still be trapped. We would still be held if it were not for the Lord. He is to receive all the glory. But we read here in verse 7, our soul is escaped. Our soul is escaped. We're no longer held in the prison of sin. Those chains have been broken. Our soul is escaped. Think upon those words. Our soul is escaped. How did it happen? The Lord. If it were not for the Lord, again, we'd still be held. It goes on to say, the snare is broken. And again, it is repeated. And we are escaped. But were it not for the Lord, you and I would have never been delivered. We'd still be there. We would have never been rescued. We would have never been liberated. We'd still be in bondage. But the snare has been broken. Who broke that snare? Did my will break that snare? Did a prayer break that snare? No, the Lord, in His grace and mercy, came and broke that snare. And now my soul is escaped. And I owe it all to Him. If it were not for the Lord, we would still be unsaved. We'd still be headed for hell. I'm afraid many times, and it's in us by nature, and it's something we have to guard against, all of us. We can, if we're not careful, we can assume a self-righteous attitude about our salvation. Whenever you do that, you have forgotten who it is that saved your soul. And you have forgotten why He saved your soul. Not because of anything in you and I, but for His praise and for His glory. You look at the filthiest sinner you can find or who you think is, and that's where you'd be if it were not for the Lord. The difference is the Lord. The Lord hath put a difference We need to think about that when we observe. And it's disgusting to look at the lives of many individuals. But we need to remember that that would be us, were it not for the Lord. The only reason it isn't is because of the Lord. You see, I would have never seen my need of a Savior if it were not for the Lord. I'd have never saw my need. And I understand, and we understand tonight, that the lost sinner is not going to see his or her need unless the Lord does a work. Unless the Lord does a work. That doesn't keep us from praying for them. That doesn't keep us from telling them of their need. But they're never going to see it. Just like you and I would have never seen it, were it not for the Lord. I would have never believed, were it not for the Lord. Never would have. People say all the time, well, I've always believed God. Well, you may have. You may have always believed that there's a God. But that won't save your soul. The devil's belief doesn't save your soul. I'm talking about saving belief. You and I would have never believed were it not for the Lord. For by grace are you saved, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. But by faith it is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. We see in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe. So it was given to us to believe. You and I would have never believed savingly were it not for the Lord. You and I would have never repented were it not for the Lord. Notice Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verse 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. I would have never seen my need. I would have never believed. I would have never repented. And I would have never come. No man can come unto me, John 6:44, except the Father which has sent me draw him. I would have never seen my need. I would have never believed. I would have never repented. And I would have never come if it were not for the Lord. I'd still be in the ditch. I'd still be in that ditch. I'd still be in the hog pen were it not for the Lord. I'd still be destitute. I'd still be bankrupt. Still be fully exposed. And a lost sinner needs to think about this. They are fully exposed to the law, the justice, and the wrath of God. And you and I would still be fully exposed to that were it not for the Lord. I would still be under the condemnation of God were it not for the Lord. I would still be facing eternal destruction. Still be on my way to an eternity in hell if it were not for the Lord. And I never would have known the joys of salvation were it not for the Lord. Salvation is wonderful. To know the joys of salvation. Lost man, of course, knows nothing of the joys of salvation. You realize that you and I, God has saved. We know joys that the world knows nothing about. But if it were not for the Lord, that would not be so. know the joy of the goodness of God. The world knows nothing of the goodness of God. As soon as life doesn't go the way they want it to, they blame God. They know nothing of the goodness of the Lord. They never stop to consider that up to the time when everything started going bad for what they think, it was God who gave them breath. It was God who caused the sun to rise and the sun to set, and God who sent rain. They never enjoy the goodness of the Lord. You and I would have never enjoyed the goodness of God were it not for the Lord. We can enjoy the love of God. You know, the world, they like to talk about the love of God, but they know nothing about it. They know nothing about it. You and I know the joys of the love of the Lord. But if it weren't for the Lord, that wouldn't be the case. We know the joys of having a merciful God. Oh, the joy to just spend some time and think about the mercy of God. You not getting what you deserve. All the joys that we have. And if our heart is right, we're able to see that everything that comes into our life is a blessing of God. But if we're not for the Lord, we wouldn't enjoy. We wouldn't have the joy of these things. So all the joy and the gratitude and the praise that ought to fill our hearts as we make our way to the house of God. I mean, if we're ascending to the house of God, and our hearts ought to be ascending to the house of God, if we're ascending, by the time we get here, we ought to be ready. We ought to be excited. It's time to worship the Lord. You view these words not only as they relate to our salvation, but as they relate to our everyday lives. We have no idea what God saves us from every single day. Second, we, like Israel, live in the presence of malicious enemies bent upon our destruction. And you and I are not truly aware of just how numerous these enemies are. Nor are we aware of how powerful and how malicious and how wicked and how bent they are on our destruction. But we know this. If it were not for the Lord, they would have destroyed us a long time ago. That we know. The devil and his demonic forces. People today, God's people, are quite ignorant concerning demonic forces. They're quite ignorant about the presence of demons. But demons are all around us. They're all around us. And if you live the Christian life long enough, you will encounter them. I'm not saying you'll be possessed by them. You will encounter demonic activity. The real. And the demonic forces would destroy us. They would destroy us in our sleep were it not for the Lord. They would destroy us during the day were it not for the Lord. We would have been devoured by the sinful, by the corrupt and defiled and depraved world. Were it not for the Lord. How many times in our lives, because of our sinful and depraved flesh, we would have ruined our lives? There isn't anyone here, other than infants, that would not have ruined their lives, completely destroyed them. And why didn't we? Because of the Lord. Were it not for the Lord, we would have ruined our lives many times. But God has intervened. God intervenes without you and I knowing it sometimes. Sometimes we're very well aware of God's interventions. Many times God intervenes and we don't know a thing about it. But be sure of this, God intervenes every single day. And we would have ruined our lives many, many times. And as you look around today, you see that there are ruins and wreckage everywhere. Lives are ruined. Lives are wrecked. Not beyond that God can fix, but lives are ruined and wrecked. And we would be part of that multitude. Were it not for the Lord. And it's not that we need someone else to ruin our lives. We would have ruined them ourselves. Were it not for God. Were it not for God, every single one of us would have ruined our lives. Think of the many times we have rebelled against the ways and the will of the Lord. Perhaps it was just a fleeting thought through our mind. Perhaps it was willful and obstinate rebellion. We've done both. But think of all the times we have rebelled against the ways and the will of God. And were it not for the Lord, where would we be? If it were not for God, think of the times that we have willfully rejected the will of God and done it our way. Were it not for the Lord, oh, we may have brought some inconvenience into our lives and we may still be paying for some of those things, but let me tell you, if it weren't for the Lord, it'd be a lot worse. Think of the many times we would have rebelled. I mean, we've all rebelled. But think of all the times we would have rebelled, but God stopped us. Think of all the times we would have sinned, but God didn't allow it. God stopped us. Oh, were it not for the Lord. You think of the times that we have failed to resist the suggestions of the devil and of the flesh and of the world. There isn't anyone here. We all fight the suggestions of our sinful flesh. We fight against the suggestions of the devil. We fight against the suggestions of the world. But every single one of us at times have failed to resist those suggestions. And if it were not for the Lord, where would we be? Where would we be if it weren't for God? And that's why we need to stop and think. We're not giving license for people to sin, but we need to think sometimes. People make statements, and they need to be careful. They'll say, well, they've lived a life of sin. That's what they get. That's true. But what about us? What about us? Are we without sin? Not at all. Oh, were it not for the Lord, where would we be? Think of the times that we have willfully, and may I say stubbornly, followed the flesh. We have willfully and stubbornly gone against what we know God says. We've all done that. Some do it more than others, no question. But we've all done it. And were it not for the Lord, where would we be? Think of all the times we would have followed the flesh. And God stepped in and stopped us. Think of the times that you're going to give somebody peace of your mind. You're going to let them have it. And God didn't let it happen. Oh, were it not for the Lord. Think of the times that we have wandered from the Lord. You know, people get the idea, God's people get the idea sometimes that if they don't physically wander, they're innocent. We wander in our thoughts. We also wander in our deeds. Both are sin. And you think of all the times we have wandered from God in our thoughts. And were it not for the Lord intervening, where would we be? Think of the times, you and I don't know how many times it is, but think of the times we would have wandered in our thoughts. But God didn't let us. I mean, you think of the times you did wander in your thoughts, but think of the times you would have, but didn't. And that's the Lord also. Were not for the Lord. Think of all the mistakes that all of us have made. And were it not for the Lord, where would we be? Think of all the wrong and foolish things we have done. And if it were not for the Lord, where would we be? Think of the mistakes you would have made. Perhaps you didn't make them, but you would have. Were it not for the Lord. Think of the wrong you would have done, were it not for the Lord. I mean, we can go back before we were saved. And I can see very clearly in my life that the Lord prevented me from doing things that I wanted to do so that I could stand before you tonight. Because had I done those things, wouldn't be able to. It ruined our lives before we were even saved. Think of our self-centered attitudes. And God's merciful. God intervenes. Think of all our self-interest. Our attitudes at times of defiance. We all have them. Every single one of us at times have had an attitude of defiance toward the Lord, toward His Word. Think of all the attitudes of pride and self-righteousness. And were it not for the Lord, you can't imagine where we would be. Then you think, since the day the Lord saved your soul, there have been trials. And you can start to make a list of your trials if you want to do that. But did you ever stop and think of the trials you didn't have because the Lord prevented you from having them? I want to tell you, there's more trials He prevented you from having than He allowed you to have. Were it not for the Lord. Yes, we've had trials. And those trials would have swallowed us up if it were not for the Lord. But think of all the trials God spared us from. There's been difficulties. And if it weren't for the Lord, we would have never made it through those difficulties. How many times people make a statement, we've all made it, oh, I don't think I could endure that. But when it happens, you do. Why? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. And I believe that's true of even lost people. They're too ignorant to realize it. People say all the time, I don't see how a lost person can get through that. Let me tell you, God's merciful to them. God's merciful to them, or they wouldn't get through it. God blesses even them. You think of all the obstacles. And were it not for the Lord, we would have never gotten past those obstacles. You think of all the battles, all the struggles. We'd have never come through any of them were it not for the Lord. But you think of all the battles and all the struggles that have been prevented, that God has not allowed us to go through. The continuous burdens. And we all have burdens. It's part of life. God has spared us many a burden also. Oh, were it not for the Lord, where would we be? We've all had disappointments. Disappointments in ourselves, disappointments in others. We've all been disappointed. And sometimes disappointments can almost be devastating. And these disappointments would have swallowed us up, but they haven't, because of the Lord. Think of all our sorrows and heartaches. And then there have been wounds. You can't get through life, lost or saved, without some wounds. And you certainly, as a child of God, cannot be engaged in the warfare that we are engaged in without having some wounds. We're going to have wounds, but we survive them. But we wouldn't, were it not for the Lord. We've been spared. We have wounds. We all have scars, spiritual scars. But we've been spared many a scar also. The Lord's been good to every one of us. And we ought to think upon these things as we make our way to the house of God. Were it not for the Lord, these things, again, all of these things would have defeated us. All of these things would have swallowed us up. There have been Red Seas. There have been Jordan Rivers. There have been Goliaths. There have been dried up brooks. There have been fiery furnaces. And there have been storms. And here we are. And here we are. And many of those storms, we didn't think we'd ever get through them. Here we are. Were it not for the Lord, we wouldn't be here. Think of what if God had not intervened. And that's why we ought to pray all the time, Lord, intervene. No one can intervene like God. What if the Lord had not intervened in our lives? We that have some realization that God has made a difference in our lives. God has made a difference in our lives. I look at my brother and my sister, and if you just looked at the three of us, you would not have any idea that we were raised by the same parents, that we were raised under the same circumstances. And I realize often the Lord has made the difference. That's the only difference. It is the difference that God has made. And if we have some realization of the difference that God has made in our lives, that ought to promote deep, unselfish, and entire devotion to Him. I mean, every time we see somebody that and their life is just disgusting, it ought to fill us with devotion to God, because we would be the same thing were it not for the Lord. When we think about the difference that God has made, we ought to be excited to serve Him. We ought to be surrendered without any reservation, without the least resistance. We ought to desire Him. We ought to embrace Him. Willingly open our lives to Him and center our lives around Him. Were it not for the Lord, oh, how we ought to want to please Him. How we ought to want to praise Him and exalt Him. And in closing, in Psalm 134, which is the last of these songs of degrees, and I believe now by the time they get to the 134th Psalm, they're in the house of God. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. They've arrived. And they have arrived with joyful hearts, ready to worship God. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. We need to ascend. Every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, we need to ascend to the house of God. Spiritually, ascend. Now, Israel literally did ascend. Physically, they were ascending. They were going uphill. But I believe they were also spiritually ascending. And if we would just think every day, God has been so good. God has been so good to us. Because the Bible teaches that everything God does in our lives is for our good. God is good to us. And if it were not for the Lord, where would we be? Think about that. It's not hard to imagine. It's not hard to imagine at all. All you have to do is read the Scriptures and you see where you'd be. All you have to do is look around and you see where you'd be. We ought to be a people that manifest the difference that God has made in our lives. And we ought never to take credit for that difference, and we ought never to give another human being that credit. Give it to the Lord. He's made the difference. You know, there are many, many things in the world that differ greatly. An elephant and a flea, big difference between the two. But nowhere near the difference between an unsaved sinner and a saved sinner. That's the greatest difference there is. Because it's an eternal difference. Were it not for the Lord. Think about that. Were it not for the Lord. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us verse song.